Well, joining me this morning, I have Reverend Dale Witherington. He is the State Director of Capital Commission. And welcome, Dale, welcome. And just give us an example, because I know we've talked about this before, we've had you in, but really briefly, tell me about Capital Commission and what you do there.
Well, Kerry, first of all, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Yeah. Capital Commission is a pastoral ministry to the political leaders of the state of Minnesota. We are one of, gosh, now I think it's 25 states. Our national headquarters is in Raleigh, North Carolina, and there are 25 state ministers around the country ministering in state capitals.
Okay. So, having been there, now we've got you in to talk about something really specific, and having been there, you've obviously, you've been able to see things, you've been able to participate in things. In fact, you're even invited to participate in some oversight or at least some a committee. And it has to do with a bill that has gone through the House, and now it's coming up in the Senate, I think you said in February, correct?
Correct, yes.
And it's an anti-bullying bill.
Yes.
But it seems like there's maybe something we ought to be aware of or at least be cautious of. So kind of let's start back, and how did you kind of get involved in that process?
Wow, that's a great question. When session was wrapping up this last May, my wife and I were there. We were just praying over the senators as they're making some final decisions. And the Lord gave me a vision, Kerry, if you will, where actually a germinating seed was coming out of heaven. And I literally felt this hit me in the heart, and it went right down in my guts. And I felt it physically. It was very, very strange for me.
Okay.
And I said, Lord, what's this all about? And he just used the words, restore Minnesota. And I said, what's that all about? He said, the church needs to repent and restore righteousness in this state. And I said, great, I'm not sure what all that means yet, but I will at least start praying about that, start studying about what that could possibly mean. Within a matter of days, I received an invitation from a legislative assistant to sit in on a workshop, an eight-hour workshop, on the overhaul of our educational system in the state of Minnesota. My wife and I attended it together, and because I want to be sensitive to our listening audience, it was some of the most graphic, obscene, pornographic materials to infiltrate our schools beyond just a health ed class or a sex ed class. It's to infiltrate every course, every discipline from pre-K through 12th grade, and it seemed to be tremendously harmful material to our students. I grew up in a home where I got exposed to a lot of pornography young.
Okay.
Nothing like what's even being distributed into our campuses today. So we went through that whole workshop, and the question then became, how in the world does this tie to, how do you connect the dots between this education and an anti-bullying bill? When we connect all the dots, the language in the bill goes back to that course that my wife and I attended that promotes a comprehensive overhaul of our educational system and really opens the doors for our children to be taught and involved in sexual behavior that is unhealthy, immoral, and dangerous.
Wow.
You can go on to Minnesota Department of Education. You go to the website. You can find curriculum that has been developed and is being taught in our schools, and it's curriculum like Alone No More, Guidelines for Comprehensive Sexuality and Sexuality Education, Health and Well-Being, Learn About the Gender Gumby, Read the Safe Schools Manual, Out for Equity from the St. Paul Public Schools, Education for Sexuality and HIV/AIDS. Now, I don't think anybody, Safer Choices, I don't think anybody is against our children, particularly as they get older, to have some sense of education as to keeping themselves safe and healthy.
Right.
If you or I were to take this same curriculum and teach it to our children in our homes, it is possible that we could be arrested for teaching our children child pornography.
Oh, wow.
But the fact that there's an exception clause in the law that says accept public schools.
Wow.
This is taught, mandated to be taught, and it is extremely pornographic material, and it's getting worse.
Wow.
So in connecting the dots with this whole thing, this is an overt, graphic child and adult pornography-based education that's based on extremely faulty research.
Right.
And people need to go check the research. The research was done by a dangerous pedophile, Albert Kinsey. And if you or I did to our children what this man and his associates did under the guise of research, we'd be in prison.
Yep.
The language is tremendously scary. And here's something else that's very scary about this. It's not only being taught now and has been taught for years and is getting worse. And if this law passes, it's going to open a Pandora's box much broader than any of us, I think, really want to have to deal with. And we can talk a little bit more about that if you like. But this is also going to be an unfunded mandate.
Right.
It's going to cost a school district anywhere between $19 and $20 million per year, or at least what the projections are right now. I've seen bigger numbers, but that seems to be the most conservative.
Right.
Here's a question for you. This last session, the state just passed the largest state tax increase in history. And here's an additional $19 to $20 million. It's an unfunded mandate. Where's that money coming from?
Right.
How's it going to get paid for? And what happens if you are a teacher that looks at this material and it goes against your moral principle values or your religious teaching and you don't want to teach it? You'll be threatened with remediation. You could be threatened with needing to go through mental health counseling, and your license could potentially be revoked.
Hmm.
So if we have good quality, moral, religious teachers in our schools who can't stand up to this and they leave, who's going to come in and fill the vacuum?
Right.
We've already had a teacher leave the Anoka Hennepin School District this last year simply for this. Now, I'm not trying to attack a community with what I'm about to say. What I want to point out is where things are going from a teacher standpoint. This teacher is a kindergarten teacher. She had a five-year-old boy come running up to her, kindergarten boy, very proud, teacher, teacher, I went potty all by myself. I think kindergarten teachers probably get a lot of that.
Right.
Okay? I went potty all by myself. Good boy, I'm so proud of you. A little girl overheard that. She came running up and said, teacher, I went potty all by myself too. Good girl, I'm so proud of you. That teacher's supervisor overheard her. The kids went off to play, and the supervisor reprimanded the teacher for calling the little boy a boy and calling the little girl a girl because they're not old enough yet to determine what gender they want to be.
Wow.
Now, I'm not attacking the LGBTIQ community. Every human being is loved by God. Every human being, you know, Joshua told people, choose this day whom you serve. As for me and my house, I'll choose the Lord. You are an American citizen. You've got a right to live your life. This is not an attack. Jesus Christ loves people. But for a teacher to look at a little boy or a little girl and be reprimanded because the little boy or little girl hasn't determined their gender yet, that's where this legislation is taking us, and it's taking us down the same path that has already just passed in California and in Colorado, which I don't know if I'd want my 17-year-old daughter in the showers when the 17-year-old boy decides he wants to come in and shower with her.
No, exactly.
But that's what the law has gone to in California. And that's what we would be facing potentially with the breadth of the language in what is a so-called safe and supportive school anti-bullying bill. It's really not safe and supportive.
Well, and it's really not anti-bullying. But I mean, you know, it's almost incomprehensible. So what, in terms of some action steps that people can take, there's two possible reactions right now. One is to simply hear what we're talking about and react.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now you're reacting again. You're reacting on information that you haven't qualified as an individual. So,
right.
You know, it's like any pastor should be preaching. Don't take my word for it. Get into the word yourself and read the word.
Yes.
So in terms of personal, which is the second action. I mean, the second action being, we ought to be researching. Okay. Instead of just taking somebody's word, whether that's our conversation or what you hear from somebody else.
Yes.
So how do they research this, and how do they find out the details, not just on this bill, but kind of the bigger picture? I mean, the bigger, in fact, you know, over the last couple of days, a lot of things I've been talking about and praying about on the air has been even the things going on in the shadows, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of things taking place in our culture right now that are in the shadows. And so this seems to be one of those shadow activities.
Wow. Could I address that for a second before I answer the question of where to do some research? When I left the Senate chamber that night after my wife and I prayed and I sensed that vision from the Lord about Restore Minnesota, I started doing a bunch of research. I came across in my research a document that anybody can get. I just refer to it. There are 45 declared goals of what I would call creating a godless society.
Okay.
All right?
And this list is how old?
It was put in writing in 1963.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting.
Well, that is significant.
Because 1963, on June 17th, the Supreme Court declared that reading the Bible or doing prayer in school is unconstitutional.
Right, exactly.
That seemed to open some doors.
Yep.
Okay? Well, of those 45 goals, I'm going to rip through a few of them real quick just to give you an idea because of your shadow statement.
Okay.
Okay? Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States.
This is how to have a godless society.
How to have a godless society. Okay. In fact, one man who helped put this together said, "My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism." Another man said, and I'm going to be kind of paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me, said, "The heart, the strength, the resiliency of the American culture is its morality, its religion, and its patriotism. If we can infiltrate all three and tear those down, America will collapse from within."
Right.
So out of those statements come these 45 goals. One, capture one or both political parties in the United States. Get control of the schools. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and freedom of the press. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate the churches, and since your audience is primarily a Christian church-going audience, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need that religious crutch. 7, eliminate prayer or any phase of religion in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Support any godless movement to give centralized control over any part of culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose godless goals. Discredit the family as an institution and encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. And emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Think about that with what I just said about California.
Yep.
If you've got a 17-year-old daughter in the shower and a boy decides that because of the new law, he wants to use that facility, if the girls object, they are in the wrong. And if the parents are, and this is a quote from the person behind this in California, if the parents are discomforted with their 17-year-old daughter showering with a 17-year-old boy, then the parents are being discriminatory.
Yep.
Okay? That's the language. Is that what we want here in Minnesota? Okay? So where do you go to get some of this data?
Right.
One new website that I would recommend is Minnesota Child Protection League. And Minnesota is hyphenated MN, so Mary Nancy, MN Child Protection League. .com. There's a tremendous amount of resources on that website that deals with this specific issue and gives all kinds of research, all kind of data, and will point you to other places to go to accumulate the information that you want. Go to the Minnesota Department of Education site. You can pull down some of the stuff that I'm holding in my hands, and you can look at the materials that are being taught. You can try and get a hold of some of it. Sometimes it can be tricky, I'm told.
Interesting.
Yes. Please talk to your pastors. Have somebody from the Minnesota Child Protection League or myself come in and help educate your church so that you can make intelligent phone calls, write intelligent letters, and intelligent emails to your state senators, your state representatives. They need to hear from you because you no longer have a voice by being able to vote on this yourself. It's already passed the House.
Right.
If it goes to the Senate and passes, your voice means nothing. Your voice right now means everything. So those are some real critical actions that can be taken.
Okay. So we need to obviously be praying for our culture.
I mean, yes.
even as you started off, you know, just the call to repentance and transformation. This is what God has called us to. So we need to be praying. And then obviously beyond that, then you need to do the research and take whatever vocal action you need to take. Is there anything else in terms of just activities or actions, action steps that you think that would be appropriate right now?
Well, certainly prayer.
Yep.
Even come down to the Capitol. You know, set an appointment with your legislator. Meet face-to-face. There is something significant about face-to-face meetings. You know, we do have... I've got tremendous respect for our legislators. They've got a tough job. Mm-hmm. They're there serving for a variety of reasons, whatever their reasons are. And they're under tremendous stress, tremendous chaos. It can be really messy and nasty down there.
Right.
I'm not coming down on our legislators. And we have some very godly ones. We have got those who are seeking to stand for righteousness. And the reason why I read off some of these 45 goals is if you look at the last three bills that got passed this last January,
mm-hmm.
the same-sex marriage bill, the forced unionization of private daycare centers,
right.
Or the attempt to do that, and the largest tax increase in the history of the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
And then you look at this safe and supportive school bill, the anti-bullying bill. Every one of those, Kerry, can be tied directly to some of these 45 goals.
Yep, absolutely.
They are symptomatic of specific actions being taken to create a godless society and to close the mouths of Christians.
Right.
And not just Christians. Anybody who's going to give a religious opinion, but for the most part now, Christianity, anytime a Christian speaks, it gets discounted severely. We get attacked as being hateful, which is really interesting because even if we say the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
well, if the Bible is the word of God, what we have done is we've created legislation that says God is a hater.
Mm-hmm.
And God is being convicted of hate speech if we understand the whole word of God. And prayer, education, talking with your legislators, praying for your legislators.
Yeah,
let me give you another website, if I may.
Yep.
It is www.pray, then the number one, then Tim, then the number two, pray1tim2.org.
Right.
It is a daily calendar prayer reminder for the political leaders of our state.
Excellent.
And they need our prayers. And I make sure that gets sent to whoever's being prayed for that day. We make sure it gets to them every day.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so they know they're being prayed for. So those are some of the actions.
Would you take a moment right now just to do that very thing? Pray for our legislators, pray for our senators as they're going to be seeing this and dealing mm-hmm. with it. And then just, again, just pray as you feel like God just leads, just in regards to impacting the culture, which is what we're called to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I'd be glad to. Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And the first thing we want to do, Lord, is we want to lift up our governor, our lieutenant governor, our secretary of state. We want to lift up all of our senators, our state representatives, the Senate and representative staff, all of those who are working in our state capitol who are seeking the good of the people of the state of Minnesota. Lord, we lift them up to you. You have placed them in office. We honor their office. We ask for you to give them courage to find your wisdom in legislation. We know, Lord, there is no such thing as non-moral or amoral legislation. All legislation, Lord, represents somebody's morality. We ask that you would infuse our leaders with your wisdom so we can legislate your morality. And with this specific issue, Lord, we pray for those who are fighting for the welfare of our children, that they can go to school and be safe, that they don't need to go and be concerned about who's carrying what weapon, whether it's physical, emotional, social, that kids can go to school, young adults can go to school and be educated and become all you've called them to be, and they can be protected. And so we pray that you would give your godly wisdom to our leaders so that as they seek to create safer, supportive school environments, that the wording and the legislation would actually reflect accuracy and godliness, and that through this would be a process of restoring righteousness through our legislation here in the state of Minnesota. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.